Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We really don't know that much about John the Baptist's childhood years. We first learn of him and his prophetic calling when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth and John jumps for joy at the sound of Mary's voice while he is still in the womb. One of many places in Holy Scripture where we learn that the word of the Lord converts and creates faith, even in infants still in the womb. But after he is born and after he receives his name, we don't hear of John again until the word of the Lord comes to him while he is already an adult living in the desert, and when he begins to start preaching and baptizing. We really don't need to know much more about John. He came to preach and teach and proclaim and baptize and point to the Lamb of God, the promised Messiah, the one who is greater than he, because he was called by God to do those very things. And he did just those things. Until one day he pointed out the sin of Herod Antipas, the sin of seducing and stealing away his brother's wife. It was for this that Herod had John thrown into a dungeon where he would live out the rest of his days until he was made a martyr, a witness to Jesus Christ with his own blood. It was from his cell that John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, as you heard in the gospel lesson today. He sent them to say, "Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else?" This is hard to understand. Why is John the Baptist asking this question now? He stood in the Jordan River and baptized Jesus. He saw the Spirit of God descend on him in the form of a dove. He called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why is John questioning it now? In prison, having heard the reports about Jesus, he begins to wonder if he is the one who was to come. Maybe John thought that Jesus was going to be a king just like David and quickly take up a throne and a sword and judge those who had been guilty of sin. Maybe he thought that the kingdom of God would come with power and that they would be taken back from the Romans and have their own kingdom. Maybe he thought that once the Messiah appeared, the end of the world would come immediately. Maybe he didn't doubt at all. Maybe he was pointing his disciples to the Lamb of God so that when John was put to death, they would stop following him and start following Jesus. Maybe it was the simple fact that John was sitting in a prison for preaching God's word of law to a powerful man, and his life was literally on the line. His head was on the chopping block. All of a sudden, it mattered greatly if Jesus really was the Christ that was promised. He had a good idea that he was going to die for what he had been preaching. We really don't know why John began to question, or if he really did. Was Jesus the one who was to come to save their people from his sins? Who wouldn't have had their doubts? It appears to us that John was in grave danger of stumbling over the stumbling stone. But Jesus didn't let John or his disciples fall away into doubt and unbelief. Jesus showed John's disciples and then sent them back to John to report that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. These are messianic words. They were spoken by Jesus to point John to the Scriptures for assurance, to remind him that the Messiah would be known by what he did. You heard the promise that the Lord spoke to Isaiah, the words of prophecy that Christ would fulfill. Say to those with an anxious heart, "Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, streams come forth in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Jesus is the real fulfillment of these words and of these deeds that were promised. Healing the sick, raising the dead, forgiving sins, bringing living water in the middle of the wilderness are the works that the Messiah alone would do. They are works that Jesus did do. He came to seek and to save the lost and the sick. He came to save their people, his people, from their sin. That's the message of encouragement, the words of promise from the Old Testament that Jesus spoke to John's disciples and then to John, who was sitting in prison, who was suffering with fear, who was doubting, and who was beginning to stumble. Notice that Jesus didn't go to that prison and free John from Herod's cell. He didn't keep him from the glory that the Lord had prepared him for in martyrdom. But neither did he leave him without hope. Herod, on the other hand, is a totally different story. He wasn't worried at all about who this Messiah was. He didn't recognize his great need. He didn't believe in the prophecies of the Old Testament. He didn't know about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He ruled in name only as the King of the Jews, but he was no believer in the promise. He had ears to hear and all, but he didn't want to hear about his sins. Herod's newest fling really didn't like John. She really didn't want to hear about her sin. The law that John the Baptist had spoken to her and to Herod together had pierced her heart. She knew that what she was doing was wrong. But she seemed to think that if she got rid of the messenger, that her sin and her guilt would go away also. How misguided she was. By nature, we don't want to be condemned by the law of God, no matter who delivers it either. In unbelief, we hear the law as Herod's brother's wife did. We get angry at the messenger and harden our hearts and think, "How dare you judge and condemn me? It's none of your business how I live my life, thank you." We somehow think that if we just don't hear the law, if we pretend that we haven't heard God's condemnation of our sin, then maybe we won't be guilty. How misguided we have been. But those who are converted by the Holy Spirit, hear the law of God and are pricked by it, they may become angry at first, yet they know that it is the truth. And like the many who came to John at that stream of living water flowing out of the desert, we are humbled, we confess our sins, and we receive Christ's free forgiveness. The forgiveness that he purchased for us on the cross. The way of our nature, the way of Herod's brother's wife, brings judgment and death and nothing more, nothing less. The way of repentance and baptism brings forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ. If John the Baptist, the man Jesus says is the greatest of all men born of women, could not save himself from sin and was in danger of falling away, of stumbling over the Christ at the very last minute, what does this mean for me and you, who are not among the greatest men and women born into this world? What does it say about earning our salvation? If John couldn't do it, how can we? What does it say about our doubts and our fears? He doubted and feared, and he was the greatest among men. Yet a little child in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. What stones are lying in your path that cause you to stumble in your faith? Are you having problems believing that Jesus had no earthly father? That he was born into this world of a virgin's womb? Do you struggle to believe that faith is really created in an infant still in the womb by the hearing of the word, or one who has been recently born by the waters of holy baptism? Do you struggle to believe that Christ's body and blood are really present in the Lord's Supper as he has said? Do you struggle with his bodily resurrection from the dead, or think that you have to earn salvation or ask Jesus into your heart before you can be saved? Perhaps it's none of these stones, none of these doctrines that are causing you to doubt and stumble. Maybe it's a friend who tempts you to sin and leads you to go astray. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe pornography. Maybe some other addiction that causes you to avert your eyes from the cross. Is it the love of money? Or lust after power and authority? Unwillingness to speak up concerning the truth? Maybe there are just too many hypocrites and sinners in the church, and you don't want to be one of them. Are there too many germs on the common cup? Too much snow on the road to get out this morning? Well, you get the point. The devil is always, always looking for some teaching, some practice, some circumstance that he can use to cause you to doubt and begin to stumble. He wants you to fall away from faith in Jesus Christ. His aim is to get you to stumble over the stumbling stone. Jesus is called the stumbling stone to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. He is the stone which many fall upon and are broken to pieces, and the stone that falls on unbelievers and crushes them utterly, as we hear from the end of Matthew's gospel. He is the stone that the builders have rejected. If we try by our own reason and strength to believe in Jesus Christ, we will be in danger just as John was in danger. In danger of stumbling and falling away. Our reason cannot accomplish faith in him. Luther calls reason the devil's whore, because so often the devil uses reason to lead people away from Christ. Reason can't save you. Your works can't accomplish the forgiveness of sins or earn eternal life for you. Only the Holy Spirit can convince you of the truth. And it's only Jesus Christ who has accomplished your forgiveness. It's the same word and the same Spirit that keeps us in this true faith and will not let us fall away on account of the Christ. John's life was on the line, and he was struggling with serious doubts about the Messiah. Who can blame him? But the Messiah didn't let him fall away. John didn't recant to Herod and apologize for pointing out his sin. He didn't simply look the other way so that he could go free. He stayed in prison and was faithful unto death because he knew that the Messiah had come. He witnessed to the Messiah with his own blood. He was not a reed swayed by the wind. He didn't shy away when it was time to preach the truth and stand by it, even when it meant it was going to be his death. John's doubts and fears had already been forgiven by the one who had come, by the one that John baptized in the Jordan River. Jesus knew just the right words to say to him. He pointed him to Scripture. He would not let him stumble. He did not let him fall away. Your life is on the line too, your eternal life. You have doubts and fears about being a Christian. You know that one day you will suffer ridicule and scorn for your beliefs, if you haven't already. You will be called intolerant and unloving and hypocritical, and some of you may even be persecuted for your beliefs. But Jesus won't let you stumble or fall away either. No matter what it is about Jesus Christ that has caused you to doubt, no matter what doctrine has been laid in your path that is causing you to stumble, your sins have been forgiven in his blood shed on Calvary. No matter how many temptations you have given into, or how many excuses you have made to justify your sins, those sins have been forgiven. All of them in the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for you. We believe these things not because we can see them, not because our hearts beat within us and tell us that they are true, but because the Holy Spirit has created faith in us through the hearing of the good news that has been preached to us poor, miserable sinners. He always points us to Holy Scripture and to the fulfillment of Holy Scripture in Jesus Christ. As we wait with eager expectation for our Lord's second coming, we will often be reminded of our doubts and our sins. We will be pointed to Jesus Christ, who is the stumbling stone. The devil will accuse us and condemn us and say, "You can't be one of his, for you don't live like he has said." But blessed is the man who, by the work of the Holy Spirit through word and sacraments, does not stumble on account of him. Just as Jesus didn't let John stumble and fall away, neither will he let you stumble over him and fall into unbelief either. All of your sins have been forgiven. You are loved much. This is the beautiful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.